the form or the fashion that the world will maybe tell us it is, but really in line with the heart of Jesus. How do we get our hearts to look like His, to respond like His, to be healed like His, to have hearts that are whole? And the first thing I want to land on this morning is the loved heart, okay? Is to have hearts that are well and truly and thoroughly loved. Because it has experienced the love of the perfect one. So I'm coming in strong. I'm almost like starting with the end, and then I'll almost step back and dissect it as best I can. Those who are loved well seems to do better. Before we get to the regeneration that comes from the Holy Spirit and the love of God that comes in, anyone will tell you, any professional will tell you, even if someone has not met the Lord, struggles with a whole lot of things, those who tend to come from families where there was love tend to have more strength. Do you know what I'm saying? Those who have been loved in their homes tend to deal a little bit better with rejection on the streets. Those who are poor in love at home will go to the streets for love. You see, the loved heart tends to do better. Love sometimes for us, listen, love in our day and age, it's got a whole different meaning. And it's very shallow. It gets some parts right, but it doesn't bring us to the full complement of what love means for God. In what is God's love expressed? What is the event where His love was put on display, the brightest of all days? Come on. The cross. I mean, is there any weakness in there, in that? Is there like fluffiness? I mean, yeah, there's a love, but there's a strength. Come on. It's a love that is costly. It's a love that is strong. It's a love that is robust. And so when we talk about a loved heart, we're not talking about people that knows how to be kind and soft only. That's in there as well. But we're also speaking about a robustness. We're talking about a love that can go all the way. A heart, a life that can go to the finish line. A loved heart. Now, the other day I was... We were like spending time with people and someone said, okay, we stop talking about these things. These are the basics. They're like the gospel. We know it now. And I'm like, do we really? Do we really? We know He loves us. Like most of you here will say, I know it. We know it, but do we get it? Let me ask a couple of questions. Why do I strive so hard then with myself and with others? Why am I worried? Look nice. Why am I worried about it? If I'm loved to the full, why am I anxious about that? You see, having a loved heart has a physical impact on your hour by hour. Why am I measuring myself if I'm loved completely? You see, do we really get it? Why am I so easily offended? Why am I struggling to serve my husband and my wife? You see, we know He loves us, but do we get it? Because we'd be a lot more robust and we'd have a lot less worries. Isn't that true? This is probably the best quote I've heard in a while, and it probably spoke to me personally in a way that just helped me to reconsider my life again. But if I'm loved well, this is the quote, why do I work so hard to get up the ladder that I struggle to come to the floor to my kids? You see, if I'm full, if I'm loved, how would my life look different? A loved heart is very important because it stills storms. So give yourself a point out of 10, but you don't have to shout it out, okay? For me, I'll mostly be on one hand out of 10. Love is patient. Score? Okay. Love does not envy. Score. Boast. Score. Love is not arrogant or rude. I must say, I think you guys are doing well there. Arrogant and rude. We might pass on those two. Okay. It does not insist on its way. Score. You see, do we get it? Do we have loved hearts? It's not irritable or resentful. I'll just show my score here at the back. It rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. Score. It bears all things. One thing goes wrong. I think God left me. I can't believe you did that. Love bears all things. You know, it's more robust. You see, we live in a world where if there's something wrong, object, write a letter. I'm going to tell that principal. I'm going to show him. What's his email address? And then I'm going to phone all my friends and we're going to write and we're going to all sign this thing because we will not bear this. I'm not saying there's not times where we must stand up. All I'm saying is, we've become so focused on our rights that we sometimes can be at a place where we no longer know how to bear anything, far away from everything. It hopes all things and it endures all things. Okay, so we know it, but we've got a lot to learn. Do you agree with me? I'm coming in strong because I still have this very nice picture that Hendrik designed for me. And from here, it's going to go black and dark. Let's go on. There is no fear in perfect love. There's no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. Imagine a life without fear. Well, it's attainable if the heart can be open to be loved by God. We love because He first loved us. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. So we see the opposite of 1 Corinthians 13. There's a quest for love that we need to embark on. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the life of Jacob to land some of these scriptures. We know some of them, they're famous ones, but let's see if we can land. What does love do, and what does the lack of love do in our hearts? The loved heart. Now, I want to talk about, shucks, I said his name. I wanted to play a game with y'all. So let me just say, he's my favorite con artist of the Bible, Jacob. A man with a hole in his soul. And I wanted to ask you, guess who it is? And then he had to run for his life and he was born moments after his twin and stuff like that. But now you know I'm talking about Jacob. A man with a hole in his soul. Now this man lived in a home where his mom loved him, but the scripture says his dad preferred his brother Esau. It is a tough one. It is a tough one because some of you here have grown up in the shadows of a sibling, and it's tough. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hands, but it can be a thing that actually knocks your life in a way that if you don't get help, it can be devastating. And so Jacob knows about that pain. And so at one stage in his life, he risks it all. He risks losing his family to hear his dad say what? I love you. I bless you. Okay? And so, listen, if you're new around church and you don't know these names, please don't worry. Just sit back, enjoy the sermon, enjoy the coffee, but come back consistently, all right? You'll get it. It will help you. And also come and chat to me afterwards if there's anything I can help with. Then, at one stage, Jacob is running away from his family. His mom says, go. He runs with a hole in his heart. He got his dad to say, I love you. But he knew his dad wasn't mean to say it say to him and bless him in that way. Then he loses his relationship with his mom. She says, run, your brother's going to kill you as soon as your dad dies. He runs, he sleeps at a place where there's something that happens that night. It's called Jacob's Ladder, where God comes down and meets with him. Remember that. And he says, I did not know that God was in this place. And God makes a covenant with him. He wakes up and he makes a covenant back with God. And he meets with God, Jacob. But it's not the end of his battle to find a loved heart, because we see a lot of mistakes after that, and we're going to read about it. And it shows us, it gives us something very important to focus on. The day you come to the Lord and he forgives your sins and you experience his love, his grace, his kindness, his community, it's not the end of your mistakes. And it's not the end of your journey. It is a process. Okay? And we're going to see this with Jacob. Now, I'm going to look at some of his fatal flaws also after he met with God at Jacob's Ladder. What that means for me is I can be here right now knowing the Lord for a whole lot of years, being a pastor, but not being intentional enough about the areas where I still need to grow in. What a blessing to have the surgeon of the heart work on my heart as I live my whole life. Not just one day, okay, you are saved now, but he's working on me and he's working on you. Let's see how this unfolds in this man. We see a man that now wants to deal with the emptiness in him. He flees, he meets his uncle, Laban, and now he speaks to Laban. He's going to work on Laban's farm. It's long text. It says one important thing over many verses. So I'm talking through a lot of the narrative, and then I'll read. Now, he makes a deal with his uncle. His uncle says, hey, you are family, but I don't expect you to work for free for me. He says, this is what we're going to do. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older one was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. This is now, you can call it pseudo family. This is where Jacob ends up. He's away from his mom. Got a broken relationship, probably still in hiding from his brother. And now he's with his uncle, who's got two daughters. The name of the younger was Rachel. Now, Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And here's where we see a glimpse into Jacob wanting to minister to what is lacking in his life. I'll work for you for love. But here's the thing, I want Rachel. And so the man with his hole in his heart sets out, if I can get the prettier one, she becomes my wife. Maybe the love that I need, the hole in my heart will be spoken to. Now, Leah was weak and had weak eyes. It doesn't mean like she had to wear glasses and Rachel can see far. It means like she was not as pretty, okay? That's what it says. Ek sien nie sy was skeel nie. I'm just saying there was something there. Now Laban said, it's better that I give it to you than I could give it to any other man. Stay with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Now he is working towards what he thinks is going to heal his heart. So he is now climbing up the ladder. He's now starting. He's putting in the hard yards. He's putting in the years. I'm going to be fixed when I get Rachel. And he served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him like a few days because of the love he had for her. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may go into her. Excuse me. Other translation says, that I may sleep with her. Other translation say, that I may make love to her. Other translation say, that I may have relations with her. Excuse me. Hebrew commentators, they're blown away by this. This is so utterly disrespectful that it does not fit in with the Hebrew Jewish tradition at all. Imagine, who's the father of a daughter here? Hands up. Imagine the man pitches at your house speaks like this. For a moment. You know, we read over these things too fast. You know what's going on here? This man is desperately frustrated. He's been climbing up the ladder at home. It did not work. He's going again. He is frustrated. He's a tormented man. He's got a hole in his heart. So Laban gathered. It's going to get worse for him. So Laban gathered all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And he went into her. And Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be a servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Now, there's many reasons for Jacob not to have known. It was late at night. It was dark. Could have had some drinks. Also, they might have been made up in such a way. And also, as custom had it, it might have been that he saw Rachel and Leah, but never been like really relationally entwined with them before that day. Okay, any one of a mixture of those reasons, this man wakes up the next morning and is like, but for 7 years, I was working to fix the hole in my heart and you give me something else. In the morning, behold, it was Leah, and Jacob said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me? We also have to say, you know who else was complicit in this deception? Leah. This is my only chance for love. Everyone loves my sister. She's got eyes, she can see. Her eyes are weak, but she can see. Her sister is the preferred one. She knows Jacob has a thing for her sister. She's not stupid. She's complicit. You see, she's dealing with a hole in her heart. I love the heart. It's so important. We're going to talk about her for a moment. Laban said, it's not done so in our country. Yeah, but how about you tell me about that before we start for 7 years? It's not done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one and we will give you the other one in return for serving me another 7 years. And Jacob did so. Completed her week, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. What we see with Jacob, go to that next slide, just a little bit of a summary. This man deceives and tricks his father and his whole family. He risks it all. He loses his family to fill a hole in his heart. Isn't it true that sometimes when we want something so badly that we end up ruining it after all? Isn't utterly frustrated if we look at the words he used with Laban and then his disappointment when he finds Leah? He drives himself into trouble to find a loved heart. And you know who's just like Jacob? Me and you. If we are honest about it, we're the same. Now, Scripture tells us something about a loved heart. We know where this is going to. We can only find it at one place. It's where the sermon's going to end, okay? You know. But in the meanwhile, here's how it works. And I don't mean to be crude, but I'm just using the analogy here of Leah and Rachel. In every venture to find a loved heart that is not God, we think we go to bed with Rachel, but we wake up with Leah. Disappointment upon disappointment upon disappointment. And what happens to us men when we get to the middle of our lives? What do we get? What do we get? A midlife? Man, I've worked 7 years for Rachel, but it's still just Leah. And we come to a place where something will happen to us if the Lord doesn't catch us earlier. We will double down and carry on. And then we'll turn 50 And if we're stubborn enough, we'll double down and we'll keep on going up the long ladder until the end. Or at one stage, a different love will walk in and settle the storm in our hearts. Is that not true for us as humans? Let's go on. Now, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob. Now, listen, this is a sermon. Please have grace with me. I can only refer to it. I did a sermon on this, but Jacob goes on after that. He's about to meet his brother Esau, and that night he meets God in a wrestling match. This is what happens here. This is after the Leah and Rachel story. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with man and prevailed." Now what happened this night is God is wrestling with Jacob. Now we know God can overpower him, because at the end, what does God do? He touches his hip and he shatters his hip. But in the night, God sees the resolve of this man, but for the first time of his life, he climbs up the right ladder. This man that he wrestles with, he senses, this is not a man, this is God. And he's like, "I'm going to get from you the love I wanted from my father. And I'm going to get from you the beauty I wanted from Rachel. And I'm not letting go." Now, everyone, every Jew knows what happened to the people. What would happen if the sun comes up and God is there with his glory? If his face is not hidden, you will die. They knew it with Moses. Moses went up, there was clouds, the people stayed there. There's something about facing God. You would wet yourself, okay? They knew this. But not this man. He was desperate. And he was determined. And he would have died there if he had to. That's the Jacob I know. If it means I'm going to truly live for 1 second and get this heart fixed, I'll do it and then I'll die. And so he holds on. But what he's busy with is he's climbing up the right ladder. He's facing the Lord and he's saying, "I don't want to go." And there's something to say about that for us. Well, the first thing it says is, getting God deep into our hearts, even though he's done all the work, sometimes is a wrestling match from our side. We need to wrestle ourselves into his love. But he does not give up. And God affirms him. He says, "You have prevailed. Your name will be changed." From that day on, he was different. His heart was healed, but his hip was shattered. And with every step, he would remember, this is nothing if this thing can be full. The power of a loved heart. The power of a loved heart. In desperation, he clings to God and he leaves this defining moment with a broken hip, but a loved heart. What about you? What about you? Sometimes when we get into the place where the Lord really starts to work with us, we leave with limbs, we leave different. And sometimes it's only different for the better, but sometimes there's also limbs. There's siblings that will not talk with you because you got baptized. That can be a limb. Are you with me? When I was in university, I had friends whose fathers would no longer speak to them because they decided to leave the traditional church and be a part of, because for the family, that was something there. And so sometimes coming to the Lord with your whole heart leaves you with a limp. The question is it worth it? That's a question. For Jacob it was. A shattered hip for a full heart. Are you with me this morning? Let's look at Leah. This is fascinating. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, I want to show you how she discovers the loved heart. He opened her womb, and Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. The name means the following: the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Reuben means to look. And what she's hoping for is that now my husband will love me. The Lord has looked upon me. May my husband look upon me also and love me. That's a heart here. May he see me. She conceived again and she bore a son. Now she is climbing up her ladder. Now she's going for it. Shucks, Reuben did not work. I'm going to get his love. Okay? I'll be fixed. She conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm hated, he has given me a son also. She called his name Simeon, which means to hear. And what is she hoping for? Not only that her husband will see her, but that he will hear and understand her in order to love her. Again, she conceived and bore a son. She's in desperation for the love of her husband. And said, now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I've borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi, which means to attach. And then, she conceived again and bore a son and said, what? What did she say? This time, I will praise the Lord. And everything changes. Therefore, she called his name Judah, and she ceased bearing. It's over. Fight is over. Power of a loved heart ends many wars in your life today. What about you? What about me? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, love. We get a glimpse. It's only a glimpse. I mean, we're scratching the surface here. It's only a glimpse. The day she discovered the love of God, her striving ceased. Perfect love casts out all fear. We see the scriptures of the New Testament unpacked and revealed for us here over narrative. And I miss this. What does he want to do with us, Jesus? Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. This was one angle I wanted to take on the sermon, which I didn't, is the fact that the Father says to Jesus in front of the people, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Jesus has a loved heart, therefore he can conquer Satan in the desert, conquer his opposition, fulfill his task. But that's not the sermon. Because it's one thing for Jesus to have that loved heart, and as humans we feel it's harder for us, and it is. But Jesus knew, he was full, right? But because he knew how loved and secure he was in the love of the Father, he didn't climb up ladders, he got down on the floor. He rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied around his waist, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He who is loved from on high has got no issue with going down low. But now he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, and Simon said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And he answered them, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. What is this man saying? Lord, you can't just come down. You can't just come down and give service to me. I will work for it. Come on, maybe one day I'll earn it. I'll get up that ladder. I'll get to, and then when I see you in heaven, then you can, let me, And Jesus says, you don't understand how this works. Sit. If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon said to him, do it, Lord. Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And we are just like Peter. We want to climb up. We want to get up there. And you know what? It's hard for us because in the world you have to fight for your place at times. And then we come to God and we're like, I'll work my way up there. But to have a loved heart, you must accept the fact that you will never get up there, but he came down to love you and love you to fullness. Now that's another couple of sermons. Like, how do we really let it in? Like, how do we really get it into our hearts? But here's the thing. We climb up ladders where there's nothing on the top. Said, he has come down to love your heart into fullness. And when Peter got it, he allowed the Lord to serve him. Meaning in this world's eyes might be found on the top of the mountains, but a loved heart by God's design is found in the trenches on a cross. Bloody affair. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, and that's you as well, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. You have a Father who, unlike Jacob's father, loves you with a perfect love and is able to love you into fullness and love me into fullness and has put his love on display for us with Jesus coming down. Now here's a question for us. Can I still receive a love I don't work for? Can I still receive a salary when I haven't gone to work? With God it works like that. On the receiving end, we need to open. We need to open up. Yes, you will work for God. You'll do many things for him. But first, there's something that is received. That is the gospel. First, we are loved, healed, forgiven. And then we become very productive. But in part one, how's it going with your loved heart? Has the striving ceased, or is it a raging battle? Is it a waging storm? Have you suffered disappointment? We all have. We've put in the time. We went up the ladder. We went to the top and we said, shucks, I thought this would be Rachel, but it's Leah. There's only one. And this morning, we prayed also at intercession before the time. God needs to help us get this in. He needs to help us get it in. All I can do is I can carry on repeating myself, but it's not going to help. I want to pray that we get this. Is that okay? Can we pray for this morning? Let's stand up this morning in this place. Father, we don't deserve to be loved the way you love us. And we're not able to understand, but we know that we can receive it by faith, your love in our lives. And I pray that you will also forgive us, Lord, of our sin of not eating that which you give us to eat. Sometimes you pack out a feast for us and we walk out the door talking about our hunger. Help us to be able to receive, to sit and eat and feast on your love and to be filled by it. Let's also take a moment this morning to bless the Lord with repentant hearts, because sometimes we go up ladders that are good things that we put in the place of God. Sometimes we climb up ladders which is sinful in itself in order to still the storm or to be loved. And let's take a moment. Let's be true disciples and let's repent before the Lord for every ladder we have climbed up in disobedience, where we did not bless Him but brought dishonor to our testimonies and to His name. Let's repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. I looked for love where it was there all along. Some of us started out with intention. We gave love. We gave care. We put it all out there, but they didn't do it back. Your spouse never responded. He left, she left. And you got injured in your heart. Now I want to tell you, a human being can never heal that pain. Healing there is in the wings of the Lord. So this morning, as a church, we also pray for you that you will turn to Him. Don't climb up the next ladder. The same thing will repeat. Fall into His hands this morning. Amen. Holy Spirit, speak with us. Minister to us. Bring us to the table of the Father, where there's a seat for each one, and where His love pours into us, causes us to heal up and be strong. We need to pray for some people this morning. It doesn't have to be long prayers, but there is something on the morning. Can I just ask some small group facilitators to come to the front? We want to pray for you. We want to pray for some people to walk out of this place differently today. So as facilitators are coming, quickly come out if you've been deeply hurt by people. Deeply hurt. Quickly come up. Especially by the church. 1, 2, 3. You can come out. If you want to get this thing right, if you know there's just this, you want to get this right with the Lord, where He loves your heart into fullness, quickly come out. We're waiting for you. Thank you guys for responding. Thank you for responding. If you feel just also any of the things I've mentioned, but there's a striving there, or almost like an anxiety, the Lord wants to still that storm also. Quickly come out. Ladies will pray with you if you're a lady. A guy will pray with you if you're a man. But we want you to leave differently. Thanks for your courage. Thanks for your courage. Then I don't presume to know, but if there's anything around your heart that you'd love to receive prayer for, quickly come. Just allow the Lord to come in and heal and help. Thanks for your courage. Thank you so much. For someone, I want to say this morning that the storm really can end, but it ends in here. Maybe you've been looking, but that person should, it's time for them to do that. It's time for them to do that. Laban is Laban. Jacob is Jacob. Jacob had to go wrestle with the Lord for his healing. Laban has to walk his own walk. So what I want us to do is to, let's take a moment and you can sit down and you can reflect on your own, especially if you came here alone. But if you are with someone you know, someone you love, just ask them, what is the Lord saying to you? I mean, what's stirring on your heart? And you can offer to pray with your friend or with your spouse if you want to. Otherwise, just take a moment, just bow your head in prayer and bring your own heart and your life before the Lord this morning, just for a couple of moments before we dismiss this meeting. If you see your friend sitting somewhere alone and you want to go to them, you're welcome to do that. Thanks so much, everyone. You were amazing this morning. I was a little bit flustered coming in here with my whole thing corrupting, but you guys were great. Thanks for responding, for interacting. I just formally want to dismiss this meeting. The Lord bless you and keep you. See you next week. You're welcome to stay and pray with someone for a couple of minutes if you want to. You're also welcome to get some coffee on the outside. See you soon.